Good evening, he's alcoholic. I love our wives, man. They manipulated you into recovery. That's how powerful they are. It's beautiful. Good evening. Hi, guys. Thank you for having me tonight. I think the last time I did this, plus years ago, it's kind of interesting having you guys on Zoom tonight. And the last time I spoke in a big meeting in Zoom, I kind of panicked, thinking that it's going to be long. And it's one of those moments that, oh, sheesh, what am I going to say? I'm looking for actions on people's and so forth. And then what I found out is, that thing that I want to feel that I am appreciated and that I'm doing good, the smile and so forth. That's what I'm looking for in the meeting. And in the Zoom, it's like, who am I going to focus on? But I think through the program, through the 12 Steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, I was able to identify the thing that that runs my life, that runs my emotions, that runs my feelings. I know today some of the feelings I have is based on my thinking. And then I take actions towards those feelings, and a lot of times it's not even true. I truly appreciate the program of Alcoholics Anonymous and the 12 steps. But anyway, I do have a sobriety date of March 25, 2003, and I just celebrated 19 years last month, and it's one of those moments that I should be dead by now. A lot of the things that came into my reflection at the day of my birthday is the broken promises that a lot of us, well, alcoholics and whoever would like to admit that I have to break those promises many times. It's not because I wanted to, it's because I'm powerless over it. Alcohol and drugs has to be the first. That's how much powerless I am. No matter how much love my parents has, my wife has, my children has, I just can't stop drinking. And then there's a moment that, it just doesn't work. And only by the grace of God, the pain was painful enough that I seek help. I love the way alcohol makes me feel. I like the way it makes me not feel. It hides this feeling of discomfort in my heart, that we call the hole in our heart. I discovered alcohol early on in my life. My family are big drinkers, so in the Philippines they would give me a little drink of whatever they're drinking, and I tell you, I'm gonna feel like I'm Superman. I remember I was probably about 6 years old when they gave me something, and I tell you, it just changed the way I feel. There's one thing that I usually don't talk about in Alcoholics Anonymous. Maybe I'll share tonight. When I was very young, probably around 3 or 4 years old, I just have a glimpse of what happened. The maid that was taking care of me laughed, and I felt so uncomfortable. So I pick up a knife and I threw it at her. And I told her, don't ever do that again. So I can identify now that ever since I was basically a toddler, I had this uncomfortable feeling. And my father was a detailman. He basically introduced drugs to doctors and so forth, and they can use it. And he has this cough syrup in hidden. And I was able to. He used to give me, because I have asthma, and he would give me those medications, and I know where it's hidden. So every time I don't, because every time I take it, I feel good. So even though I don't have cough or asthma, I don't have an asthma attack, I will go to that cabinet and take it. It's those 30 cc bottles. And so Early on, I was doing it. I just don't know whether I was an alcoholic or an addict at that time, but I was trying to change the way I feel. But at 9 years old, I remember I made this decision that I'm gonna go for it. I stole a joint from my brother. I bought four beers, and we were in this shed, and a classmate of mine, he smoked a little bit, and I smoked the rest, and he drank one beer, and I drank most of it, and he passed out, and I didn't. I felt like a man. I felt like I found the answer. I know what to do now. And I don't have that feeling of discomfort. I chased that feeling for 27 years. And these were all the broken promises happened. I promised to God that at 7 years old, when I had my first communion, that I'm going to be a good boy. I'll take, I'll serve Him. I'll be honest. And when I took that first drink, and that was it. All the promises I have is gone. So I cheat and steal. I started not doing my homework, and my mom will help me with it. She's an educator. Al-Anon would have been great for her. I know today that she just loves me. I think a lot of us do these things because we love the person, the alcoholic, how, you know. Anyway, I graduated high school. But prior to graduating, I got caught in the Philippines by the Pasay City Police, and they took me to their office. And you know, my family has connections in the government, so I was able to get out. And I remember this magistrate. She said, "You know, if you don't stop doing this, you'll be in a lot more trouble." Of course, 15 years old, my first reaction is, "You have no idea what you're talking about." So at that time, I had this glimpse, a moment of clarity. I told my mom, "I think I have a problem, huh?" But I never said I was an alcoholic. I said I have a problem with the other substances. So she sent me to a psychologist, and in 3 weeks, I know what the problem was. I'm not responsible. So what I need is a girlfriend, a human aid. So right here, no amount of human power can relieve me of my alcoholism. Right there is a sign. Psychologist is a sign. And I continue to rip and roar, and we had our first baby when I was 17, you know, and when he was born, I said, I'm going to be a good father. I'll go back to school, take care of everybody. And didn't happen, you know, and I remember 6 years after, my wife came here to the States. And you know, she's very intelligent. I think some of you guys know her. She is very loving, and she asked me if I want to come here. I don't know about you guys, to an alcoholic, those are big decisions. Yeah. And to make decisions like that, I have to drink and use. So I finally said, yes, I'm going to come here. And given an opportunity to live in Monterey. And, you know, I said, I'm not going to drink anymore. I'm not going to use anymore. And we went to Costco. And bad thing is, we went to the alcohol aisle. And I saw King Heineken. Oh, no. And the mind started thinking, oh, I pay taxes for this. People who drinks in television, they look good. You know, the most important thing that I told myself that night, that day, is this time it will be different. And that was another 10-year run. I got to see that if you have a good insurance, a copay, you can have some other substances. You know, and I forgot to tell you guys, in the Philippines, I was using meth. And I got caught by the NBI. It's like the counterpart of FBI here. And they were questioning me a lot. And I guess they were not done questioning me. They call it interrogation. They took me to the roof. And I don't know if you guys have, I'm sure you have seen all these movies that when they do this thing that they put a towel on your face and pour water, you know, I think they call it waterboarding, and they want to know some things. I tell you, I told them everything they wanted to know. When the person admits on a movie, when I see that, oh, I can relate to that guy, you know. So I told them everything they wanted to know and more. My mom has a position in the government. I remember this agent, he said, I know your mom. I investigated her for 3 months. She is one of the best human being that we know. What happened to you? You know, I don't know. But anyway, back here in the States, the 10-year run was very painful. I know what's right and wrong. I know what's right and wrong. And I just cannot stop what I was doing. I'm a rageaholic too. You know, they said I'm just like my dad. But the thing is, maybe I'm always angry in those days, but it doesn't mean that I'm like him. We have very similar things. I drink, he doesn't. So there became a time that I just cannot, I just don't like who I've become. So seeing doctors, counselors and all this good stuff that human aid can help us. But there's one thing that I will not tell them the truth, and that is my drinking and using. Finally, 2002, I was in Berkeley seeing this guy, and told him, I think I'm an alcoholic. And he said, you're probably not. Well, he has not heard my story, but that's why. But anyway, he said, you might want to go to a meeting and then come back here. Let me know. So my wife and I went to a meeting in Walnut Creek. And I saw a lot of members of AA that I'm very close these days. But at that time, I didn't like them. They were talking about sobriety, and I doubt it in those days that they can stay sober that long. They were talking about the God of their understanding, and I read part of the Bible. I used to go to Bible studies just so I can stop drinking. So I know a little bit about God, you know. And I remember Dave A. He said, Ace, you know, in Alcoholics Anonymous, you will not know God. You will experience God. That changed my perspective of what this program is. But anyway, I hated the people in that meeting, so I have to do another 1 month research. So I finally, one morning, I told my wife, I think I'm ready to blow my head. I cannot stand who I become. She was very gentle and nice, and she said, why don't you come with me, Ace? You know, just don't go to work. And I think somewhere around 10, 11 o'clock that morning, we went to my doctor, Dr. Greenstein, and he asked me, "Are you still drinking?" I was reminded that I was there 10 days prior to me going back there. And I can't remember much. And so what happened is he sent me to this Spindra in Concord. They were talking about recovery. I will not tell them that I'm an alcoholic because I think I'm not. But one morning, I woke up in the morning after an HNI guy came to the meeting. And I just felt that something had changed, a moment of clarity. I realized that every time I use other substances, I will start with alcohol. And then I will use the other substances, and coming down from that, I need alcohol again. And I said, "Oh my goodness, I think I'm an alcoholic." So in that meeting, at the facility, I said, "I'm an alcoholic," but I would not tell them the whole truth. And I would say that I was sober for a while. And I thought being sober is, you know, once in a while you can drink. And then I was told in the facilities, being sober is means that you're not taking anything. So again, I my feelings were hurt. So I kind of closed down, and the F-U word came out again. You know, so... But anyway, I think it was 30 days in my sobriety when my grandmother died. She took care of me growing when I was young, and because I have asthma, like what I said. And I remember coining out of that place, and I said, "This coin, this book that you're signing is nice, but it all means nothing if I drink and use again." And what happened is I dedicated my sobriety to my grandma at that time, to my children, to my family. And now I stay sober for me, so I can have all the things that I said, my family, whatever I'm trying to keep. I put sobriety first, recovery first. And also I have realized that sobriety is different from recovery. You know, first 3 years of my sobriety, I was insane. You know, one time my son pissed me off and I grabbed the table and I flipped it. And then my wife came home, "What happened?" You know, I said, I got angry. I apologize. You know, I'm going to try to do better next time. And then she said, "Maybe you need to go to an anger management program." Oh, my defenses came up again. "How dare you tell me that? I'm in a recovery." And then I told an old timer, and he said, "I think she's right." It ruined my thinking. It ruined my plans. And I went to an anger management program, and I realized that I'm powerless to a lot of things. And I hid my fear, my insecurity of not knowing a lot of things by anger and rage. If I can scare you, I thought that was getting respect. There's a part in the big book where it says there, you know, we tried to hold on to our old ideas and the result was nil until we let go, absolutely. This letting go stuff, it's been slow and sometimes painful. You know, our book in the 12x12 says, you know, pain is the touchstone of every spiritual progress. And there's some things in life in recovery sometimes I just don't like. I stomp my feet. I don't like what God is presenting to me. And then when I do walk through it, I look back and I said, "Oh, wow, What an experience. And my sponsor always tells me, Ace, do you know? He asked me first, do you know why that happened to you? I know. And then he would remind me, well, I'm going to remind you anyway. It is to help another alcoholic who's going to come in. And it might save their lives. You know, I don't practice this thing perfectly. I slip and fall. I scrape my knees, my elbows. But I stand up. Sometimes I crawl. I've experienced having bad health recovery. One morning, I just woke up and my eyes are drooping, and I was just feeling so fatigued. And I went to the doctor, and they said, "You possibly have myasthenia gravis." So I went see a lot of doctors for it, a lot of neurologists, and powerless. So what happened is I reached out to a lot of people to drive me to meetings. One thing I didn't stop doing is I didn't stop practicing the 12 steps, and I didn't stop sponsoring people. You know, they were driving me to meetings, and I have to take off for a few weeks. And one time I was seeing another group of neurologists, and they checked me, and all this use this electrodes to keep your to have your muscles working, and they said your muscles are okay. It seems like you don't have myasthenia gravis, and I said perfect. I like that news. You just have a bad case of headache at that time. Then better. Then I went back to my primary doctor. He said, Ace, just because they said you don't have it, it doesn't mean you don't, you know. And I kind of heard my sponsor at that time, Rex Hoffman, when he was still alive. Because I have a lot of great ideas, a lot of things that I think is right. A lot of old ideas, you might say. And he told me, Ace, just because you're right, it doesn't mean it's the only right way. You know, another spiritual awakening for me. You know, so that principles before personalities kind of goes through that understanding that, hey, just because you don't like them or what they're saying, it doesn't mean it's wrong. And even if it's wrong, we give them the right to be right and the right to be wrong. No, when Rex was still alive, he used to. I was 4 years in sobriety and I was ready to drink again. And I remember I called him up and I said, I am not feeling right. Around 11 o'clock, I got into his house. He told me, let's sit at the dining table. And we sat down there. And he didn't say a word. And I just kept quiet also. There was this feeling of comfort and ease. You know, I know we always say that in meetings, we are not judged. Well, I remember I told Rex, don't judge me, Rex, when I first asked him to sponsor me. And he said, Ace, that's my job. As a sponsor, I have to tell you the truth of what I see. It doesn't mean you have to do anything about it. It's up to you. Then he also told me, you don't have to do anything in Alcoholics Anonymous, Ace. Do whatever you want to do. And then the kicker was, let's see what kind of quality of recovery you have. You know, it's those little things that he throw at me. And then when he passed away, it was I felt all these feelings that I didn't want to feel when my father died, when my brother died. And I was a mess for probably about 6 months. And I realized that I can stay sober through that. My brother died because of alcoholism, found him at his house on the floor. And I was able to go back to the Philippines and be of service. Then I remember when my mom was passing away, my brother called me, I think, hey, she needs to come back home. I was doing a sleep test at that moment, and I got a flight that evening. I got home, and I was about 2 hours late. But one thing that I can tell you guys, I know that I did the best I can to correct and make amends to my mom. And that she saw me sober, she was happy to see me sober. My brother was a doctor, took him about 5-10 years, I think, to let me in his house every time I go back to the Philippines. So if you're a newcomer, if there's an alcoholic here that's a newcomer, give yourself the dignity of time. So important for us. My house burnt about 4 or 5 years ago, I think. I didn't like God. I was angry at him. I said, what now? Seeing my family in the car, they don't know what's going on. They don't know what's going to happen. I've been homeless before. I know exactly the feeling of where are you going to go to a place where you're going to sleep, where to eat. I know exactly that. I have not forgotten it. And I said, okay, God, your will be done. What now? Then I closed my eyes and I opened it. And I don't know about you guys. I'm sure you have experienced this. When you're kind of praying and then you open your eyes and the answer comes. The answer came to me in the form of, call your insurance. How simple is that then? The Rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous and Al-Anon came to our aid. They had a party for us, gave some donations for us. Very grateful. So the fellowship of the spirit that we have here is very important. We don't have to be alone, yet we can choose to be alone. We can make decisions based on our thinking if we want to suffer or not. That's an interesting thing that I learned from Al-Anon. I used to go to this District 14 meeting for 2-3 years. I used to carry the supplies for plates and so forth. I love the food that you guys bring. Oh my God, wonder I gain weight. I love the fellowship. And I realized today doing that, instead of keeping booze and drugs, I just keep the tumblers in my house. So the service commitment really helped me a lot. I have to stay sober because I don't want to raise my hand as a newcomer. So if you guys think that ego needs to be replaced or go away, my experience is it just needs to be right-sized. But anyway, I think my time is almost up. Just want to tell you guys my relationship to my higher power is personal. 12 steps have manufactured that experience. I think you guys can see the smile. I sleep at night. I know a lot of times these days when I ask him, did I do okay? And I get the smile. So hopefully you guys can experience that too. Love you guys. Thank you.